Well, good morning. My name is Wes, and I am the college and young adult pastor here at the chapel. I work with the 18 to 20-something crowd. Love it. But I am honored to just be able to be here today to share God's word with us today. Here's good news, bad news. Bad news is I got nothing to offer you. There's nothing I can say that's going to change your life. I mean, I might be able to make you laugh or make you think or something like that, but you know what? I cannot change your life. How you walked in, you'll walk out the same way if all you do is hear me. Good news. It's the God who thought you up, brought you here in this auditorium at Lockport online because he has something specific and profound to say to you personally. Individually. He didn't just put you on this planet so that you could kind of string a bunch of experiences together and bump around and then die and hope for the best. God has got a plan for your life. He's got a plan for my life. And I don't know about you, but I know about me. I need to hear from him today. And I want you to hear from him. So let's ask him to speak to us. Can we do that? I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are. Regardless of the kind of day that you've had already leading up to this moment, God knows about that. He's brought you here. Because he wants you to hear from him. So would you ask him, just silently right there, to say, God, speak to me. You got my attention, and I'll respond. God, it is indeed a privilege to be here together in this place. Lord, I thank you so much for what you have planned for this hour. God, I thank you for your Holy Spirit that will be our teacher. Lord, I will mess this up without you. And I don't want to get in the mix at all. So God, please take front and center. May your glory be revealed. May your heart be clearly what we hear. And may we go out of here different because we have spent time with the King of Kings. Jesus, thank you for dying for us on the cross. The cross forever answers the question, God, what do you think of me? So Lord, I receive that today. And I pray for all of us that we would hear from you and that we would be excited to be able to walk out of this place and live for your glory. And for your honor, it's in your name we pray these things, Christ. Amen. If you have your Bible, Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to be. And if you don't have one, there's one in the seat back in front of you, or you can cozy up to a neighbor or someone you don't know and invite yourself into their scripture because we're going to use this text. It's not going to be on the screen. And so I don't want you to miss it. So Luke chapter 6 is where we're going to be. The title of this message, of this talk, is Don't Be That Guy. Don't be that guy. Now, undoubtedly, you've heard that phrase before. You know, someone would say, hey, man, don't be that guy. Well, who is that guy? Well, he or she, because it is not gender specific, he or she takes on many different faces. You've probably known someone who's been that guy different times in their lives. Maybe you have even been that guy. Maybe you're even that guy right now. You say, well, Wes, how do I know? How do I know? I don't want to be that guy. How do I know? Well, let's take a little quiz this morning. Let's see if any of these apply to you and you'll be able to test yourself and see if you are that guy. Please look at the screen. Test number one. See this sign, express lane, less than 6 items only. If you actually think that means stuff as many items in your cart as you possibly can and then go through the checkout line ahead of Wes, I'm not bitter, you could be that guy. Test number two. If you think parking lines are merely a suggestion, you're probably that guy. Number three. If you think a headband is a snappy accessory to any outfit, you're probably that guy. Right here? Oh, yeah. Love this one. If you think driving in the left-hand lane, the passing lane, on a highway going 42 miles an hour is a good idea, in front of me, you're probably that guy. In fact, I ran into that guy, I'm not lying, yesterday, 42 miles an hour. Couldn't believe it. In the left-hand lane, right in front of me, Volkswagen, a license plate. I'm just kidding, okay? But I'm just saying, all right? Number five, all right? If you think a couple extra shots of cologne is as good as a shower, you're probably that guy. And lastly, number six, If you enjoy being Mr. One-Upper in any conversation, then you're absolutely that guy. You know who Mr. One-Upper is, right? No matter what you say, Mr. One-Upper has always got a better story. They've always got a better comment. You know, you're sitting, you know, just kind of hanging with your friends, talking, and you say, yeah, you know, last week I was kind of sick. I think I had the flu. I'm a little bit bitter now. Mr. One-Upper jumps right in. Yeah, I know what you mean. Last week I came down with leprosy. Yeah, and wow, but I'm better now. I cured myself using ketchup and dirt, so that's great, you know. Right? I mean, you know that. You're hanging with your friends, and somebody gives you a compliment about the outfit you're wearing. You know, like, thanks, you know, I really shopped hard, 30% off, really proud of this outfit. And Mr. One-Upper jumps right in. Hey, I know, me too, like this, yeah. See this shirt? I made this myself. Yeah, I wove it together on my own loom, all right? In my basement, my personal loom. I use the cotton that I grew in my backyard, okay? Yeah, actually, I was the first to, you know, invent sharecropping in our neighborhood. So, yeah, it's great. I taught the Amish. Yeah, let's go churn butter. You know, I mean, they never stop, right? You just go, whoa. Well, the truth is, we probably all, on occasion, if we're honest, have been that guy, and we've survived. But here's why I bring it up. Because the Bible talks about a that guy. In fact, Jesus himself, speaking to a crowd much like this gathered here today, talked about that guy. And he said, in essence, you don't ever want to be that guy. The story is familiar to us. It's recorded for us in Luke chapter 6. And here's one thing I know about Jesus when you read his words. Jesus doesn't just talk about stuff and things. He never just offers an opinion. He never just gives advice and counsel that we might want to check out. He speaks with thundering clarity, always saying exactly what he wants with the utmost authority. And as we'll see, that is incredibly good news for you and for me. Luke chapter 6, starting at verse 46, we pick up his talk here in verse 46. Jesus says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." Two guys. The exact same circumstance, building a house. The exact same situation, facing the storm. Two totally and completely different outcomes. The wise man, stability. The foolish man, disaster. Why? Why? We're about to find out why. Ladies and gentlemen, it is time to bring it out, because I'm all about bringing this back. We're going to look at the story recorded for us in Luke chapter 6. Through the miracle and the magic of flannel graph. Now, I know some of you right now, if you brought friends, you're going, he doesn't usually speak. It's usually Pastor Jerry, okay? So, all right. It's all right. Hang with me. How many of you have never heard of or never personally seen flannel graph? Can I see your hands? Raise them up. Yeah, look at that. Look at that, right? Hey, when I did this about 4 months ago, first time for the college kids, over about 70% of them had no idea. So ladies and gentlemen, buckle up, okay? For those of you watching online, please stay seated at all times. I don't want you to become woozy during the presentation because it's stunning. All right, here we go. Get two guys right here, all right? There they are. Okay, can you zoom in? Can you see them? Okay. Wise man, foolish man. Wise man, how can you tell this is a foolish man? Look at you guys. Yeah. Woo-hoo. 9 o'clock crowd. 11 o'clock, I'm going to be going, see this right here, this thing right here. Just kidding, okay? Yes, and look at this right here. Look at this. Yeah. Yeah, that's like, you know, it's like a chin slinky. I don't know what that is right there. That's like a playoff beard. He started it a little too early, okay? He doesn't quite understand the concept. All right, so here they go. So what's the Bible tell us? It says that they both built a house, okay? And apparently they went to the same home builder. So there that is. So you got the wise man, foolish man. There they are by the house. Now, what does it say? The wise man, He built his house on what? Come on, he built it on what? There you go, there it is, all right? Foolish man built it on sand, all right? Now the foolish man is going, what are you talking about? This is a great house, this is a great location. You kidding me? This is great, you're saying I shouldn't do this? You are so wrong, you are so messed up. In fact, you know what? I'm gonna plant a tree, look at that. Yeah, that's looking pretty good right there. And I'm gonna really pimp my pad out. I'm gonna landscape a little bit right here. Oh, that looks good right there. What are you talking about? This is awesome, you saying I shouldn't do this? This is a great decision, this is a great choice. It's so obvious. Yes. What does the Bible say? Storm's coming. Oh yeah, look at this. Uh-huh. That baby is brutal. Severe. Quick, it's storm. Get in the house. Get in the house. Ah, get in the house. All right, so they jump in their house. Get in the house. Gotta be in the house. All right? What does the Bible say? Torrent struck the house, built on the rock, the wise man's house. What happened? Nothing. Stood firm, solid, strong, stable. But the torrent struck the foolish man's house, built on sand. What does it say? It says the house collapsed. It collapsed. Ah. And it says the collapse or the destruction of that house was complete. Ladies and gentlemen, flannel graph right here. Come on. I know some of you are going, Wes, how's that drug rehab coming, buddy? Let me tell you something. There's three truths from this story that I believe God wants us to grab today. Three truths taken together that I guarantee you will change your life. And I don't just mean next week or next month. I mean today. It'll change your marriage. It'll change your relationships. It'll change what's going on in your family. It'll change what's going on in your office. You can walk out of here being changed because of the truths that God wants us to grab from this story. Truth number one, what you choose to do with Jesus' words will determine your outcome. What I choose to do with Jesus' words will determine your outcome. Let me phrase it this way. What you choose to do with what God says will determine the outcome of you. Will determine the outcome of you. Let's look at the text again. Verse 47. I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them into practice. The wise man puts them into practice. The wise man hears, listens, and obeys. In other words, he says yes to God. God, whatever you say, the answer is yes. What you tell me about my relationships, the answer is yes. What you say to me about my purity, the answer is yes. What you say to me about how I spend my time, how I spend my money, the things I look at the internet, what you say to me, Jesus, I say yes. Not only with my lips, but with my life. I put them into practice. I obey them. I say yes to you. The foolish man, that guy, he hears, he listens, he's aware, but he rejects. He says, no, no, God. I know what you're saying, but no. I know what you ask of me, but no. I know what you lay out clearly for me in your word, but no. And the foolish man, he says no in one of two ways. One, because he out and out rejects it. Say, no thanks, God. I get it. I don't want any of that religious stuff. I'm not interested in that. No. And he ignores it. Or, he's like you. Like me. We come to church on a regular basis. We read the Bible. We hear Pastor Jerry speak and we give the yes nods and wow, that's good and all that stuff. But we never obey it. We never put it into practice. We never apply it in our lives. And the result is the same. Done a lot of this. Oh, that's good. Yeah, I hear it. Yeah. But we never obey. So we're saying no. And the results are the same. What you choose to do with what God says to you, Jesus' words, his word in the Bible, will determine the outcome of you. And you know one of the big problems we have when it comes to personal application, when we hear something, we're like, yes, you know, I need, probably need. You know what one of the big problems is? We consult our feelings. We ask ourselves, how do I really feel about this? Hey man, if I feel like obeying, okay, I will. If I feel like being kind, then I'll be kind. If I feel like exercising forgiveness, I'll exercise forgiveness. If I feel like reading the Bible, then I'll read it. If I feel like praying, then I'll do it. If I feel like witnessing, then I'll do it. But if I'm not feeling it, you know what? No. If the emotions aren't churning there, not heading me in that direction, then probably not. You know, I mean, how often do we come into this place on a Sunday morning? And because maybe we've had a rough time or some other things are just rolling around in our heads, you know, and Benji and the group is up here leading worship. We're like, you know what? I'm just not really feeling the worship today. So I don't think I'm going to give God a sacrifice of praise. Just not feeling it. And besides, you know, Benji, he's really not bringing it today, you know, and I don't really like what he's wearing, and I don't like the lighting. You know, I'm just not really feeling it, man. I need to feel it in order to worship, in order to give God a sacrifice of praise. What does the text say? Well, verse 47 again. I will show you what he is like, who comes to me and hears my words and feels really good about them and puts... It doesn't say that. It doesn't say anything about feelings. It doesn't say anything about how we feel about the truth. It doesn't say a word about feelings. Feelings aren't on the table. They're not even in the equation. How I feel about God's word and what he says has no input into my obedience. I am not to lead with my emotions. I am to lead with my obedience. I'm not to lead with my feelings. I'm to lead with my obedience. Feelings are horrible leaders. You know that's true. You know, many of you would not be here today if you listened to your feelings when you got up this morning. You know, tomorrow, you know, or Tuesday or Wednesday, whatever you go to work next, if you don't feel like it, I know my kids, they start school this week. They're not going to feel like going to school. When I get them up early in the morning, hey, it's school time. Oh, not really feeling it. Don't think I'm going to go, Dad. Oh, okay. That's cool. No, man, if we operated on feelings, you know we'd be in trouble. We don't lead with our feelings. Feelings are great followers. They're horrible leaders. We lead with our obedience. Let me tell you why that's incredible news for you and for me today. Because you don't have to feel it in order to obey it. You don't have to feel like obeying in order to obey. You can obey regardless of how you feel. And that is incredible freedom. I am not bound by my emotions. I do not have to invest supreme authority in how I feel. I can look at God's word and I can choose to obey regardless of how I feel. And that is what God wants for you and for me. He wants us to choose to obey him regardless of how we feel. Because he doesn't want us to be that guy. He wants us to be this guy. He wants your life to have a life that matters. An outcome that makes a difference. But what you choose to do with what God says will determine the outcome of you. Determine your outcome. That's what Jesus is teaching here. Second truth. Jesus' instruction reveals God's heart for you. His instruction here reveals God's heart for you. If you read this story, you know what you're going to see as we've read it together? You know what we see? His instructions are proactive. He doesn't say, hey, this is what might happen, or this could be, or there's a 67% chance that if you do this. He doesn't do that. He says, this is what will happen. You're going to be this guy or that guy. This is what will happen. And he tells us that up front. He says, look, I know what's going to happen if you listen to me and obey me. I know what's going to happen if you don't. And I'm going to tell you all of this in advance. I'm going to tell you this up front. I know where this is all going. I know where this is going to land. I know how this is going to turn out. And I'm going to tell you that in advance. I'm going to instruct you about that ahead of time. Why? Because God's love for you is ferocious. That's why he tells us. Because his love for us is ferocious. And so he communicates through his word, through his instruction, his love for us. That is why time and time and time again in his word, he pounds away at how critical his word is for you and for me. Because he wants us to know that we don't have to be that guy. We can be this guy. Just look at it, some of these scriptures. I just grabbed a handful. Jesus speaking and praying actually to the Father for you and for me. John 17, verse 17, look at this. Sanctify them by thy truth. Your word is truth. God says, I want you to understand this is true. This is what is true. I'm going to tell you what is true and what is false. I'm going to let you know what is real and what's a lie. I'm going to tell you what you can anchor your life to that will not be affected by the culture, by your circumstances, by the whims and opinions of others, by your own emotions. God says, I'm going to tell you what's true because I want you to know the truth. Why? Because he loves you. Because he loves you. Look at Psalms. Psalms 25, 8, 9. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. Good and upright is the Lord. His heart for you is good. It's good. His heart for you is good. He instructs sinners. We need to understand that apart from him, we're on our own and we're lost and we need a Savior. And we need his word to you and to me. But only when we're humble will we receive it. Because if we're proud, we'll go, no thanks, I got it. We'll be this guy, right? God says, don't be that guy. Be humble. Listen to what I have to say. Put it into practice. Because my heart for you is good. This is the next one in Psalms again, 32. I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you with my, what? What is that word right there? I'll counsel you with my, yeah, it's not condemning, not critical, not judgmental, not grumpy, not angry. My loving eye on you. My loving eye on you. God is saying to you today, he says, I know what's going on inside of you. I know everything about you. Everything is laid bare before whom we have to give an account. Hebrews tells us that. God says, I know exactly what's going on inside of you. I know it. I know what you're thinking about. I know what you're thinking about doing later today. I know what you're thinking about doing tomorrow. I know what's churning in here and here. And I want to give you counsel about that. Why? Because I love you. With my loving eye on you. What's this next one? Man, I love this verse. I gain understanding from your precepts. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. I gain understanding. Therefore, I hate every wrong path. As I look into God's word, he gives me understanding about my way. Therefore, I hate. Not just, oh, hey, you know, that's not a good idea. I should probably stay away from that. I hate it. I hate every wrong path. You know, sometimes you get involved in a sin that you just can't seem to shake. Can I tell you why I think that is? In my life as well? We don't hate it. We don't hate it. Oh, we hate what it does to us. We hate how it makes us feel. We hate how it impacts others, but we don't hate it. We don't see it for what it is. We don't see that that sin robs God of his glory, steals, rips him off of everything that is deserving from him, to him from me. We don't see it that that has been the thing that has usurped the authority of God in our lives, seated himself on the throne of my life, and is in hostile rebellion against God. We don't hate it. We may hate how it makes us feel, but we don't hate it. But God says, you get in my word, you press your life up against my word, and you allow me to mold your heart and to mold your mind and to align your heart and your life with truth. You'll start to hate things. Romans 12, 9 says, hate what is evil, cling to what is good. I says, I'll teach you to hate what you need to hate. And when you learn that, freedom is right around the corner. I love that scripture and that truth. Because I don't want to be that guy. I want to be this guy. Look at this next one, 2 Samuel. As for God, his way is perfect. The Lord's word is flawless. He shields all who take refuge in him. That's a truth. That's a truth for you today. It's a truth for me today. His word is flawless. Flawless, that means it's without defect. It'll never come up short. It is perfect. It is complete. God will not tease you with it. He will not go, hey, oh, no, I know it looks good, but no, it's not going to be. He doesn't do that. It's flawless. It's perfect. It's complete. Look at this one, New Testament. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scriptures God breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Rebuking, oh, I don't like that word. I like the other ones. Teaching, training, that sounds pretty good, but rebuking? Hey, you know what? If God didn't love you, he would never rebuke you. He'd just go, hey, go ahead. Live however you want. Figure it out. You know, maybe you'll get it right. There's maybe an outside chance. Yeah, probably not though, but I don't care. Go ahead. Live however you want. What kind of father does that? Not a good one. See, a good father is waving the flag. He's warning. He's rebuking if he needs to. Why? Because he wants to to protect his child. Do you know that you need your obedience? You need your obedience. God doesn't need your obedience. He doesn't need your obedience. Your obedience, he doesn't need it. God is not up there in heaven going, boy, I sure hope Wes obeys me. Because man, if he doesn't obey me today, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it. I'm probably not going to be able to be God anymore. You know, I need Wes. Really? No, God is fine. He's perfect. He's complete. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, Trinity, in joyous unity and relationship. He doesn't need my obedience. He doesn't need yours. You need your obedience. I need my obedience. Why? Because I don't want to be that guy. And God gives me instruction. And he'll rebuke me when I need it. Why? Because he loves me. Because he wants me to be this guy. Because he loves me. Thousands of years ago, when God's people, the Israelites, were about to walk into the promised land, God, through Moses, communicated this. This is awesome. Check this out. So be careful to do what the Lord your God has commanded you. Do not turn aside to the right or to the left. Walk in obedience to all that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you will possess. God is saying, this is how life works. This is how life works. This is what is true. This is what is real. If you want to know how life is supposed to go, since I authored it, I'm going to tell you this is what life is all about. This is how it works. God's instructions tell us what we need to know. Why? Because he loves us. He loves you. Man, please understand this. Please hear this, because this is huge. Just like God doesn't need our obedience, he doesn't need you. He doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. That's what makes it so powerful. He chooses to love us. He wants you. And we need that. Man, I need to be loved by someone who doesn't need me. I need to be loved by someone who doesn't need me. Because if someone needs to love me, then there's an agenda just lurking in the shadow. But because God doesn't need us, he can love us rightly, perfectly, completely. He can speak into your life with a heart that has no hidden motives other than his glory, which is best for you and for me and for your good. Because he wants you to be this guy, not that guy. And some people will make decisions and choices in their life. They'll hear what God says, and then they'll choose another way. And then their life crashes and burns, because that's what happens when you don't follow God. Eventually, that's what's going to take place, because this is how life works. If you don't follow this, this is how life crashes. And that's what happens. And then they look at God and they go, God, where's the love? Hey, man, the love is in the warning. The love is in the instruction. If my son, I tell him, don't play in the street. Do not, Dylan, don't go out and play in the street. And what happens? One day, sure enough, he runs out into the street. Gets hit, he gets hit by a truck. What is my response to my son? Do I go out there and go, look at you now. I tried to tell you, but you're all bloody and messed. Look at that. You didn't listen to Dad. Let's go through this again. Don't walk in the street. Here comes a truck. This is what's going to happen. Now look at you. That's what happened. Look, are you kidding me? I'm holding it. I'm screaming for help and 911, and I'm cradling him in my arms and I'm speaking to him. But I sure wished he hadn't run out into the street. God tells us because he loves us. And when we blow it, he still says, you can come back, but I sure wish you would listen to me. He tells us this ahead of time so that we'll listen to him ahead of time. Third, final truth. Your choices reveal your true allegiance. Your choices reveal your true allegiance. Look at verse 46. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord? Some people think Lord Jesus Christ is his first, middle, and last name. Not true. Lord is a title. Title of total, complete authority. When you call somebody Lord, you're saying, I'm surrendering my life totally to you. You have the final say-so on my life. Everything about me is for you. Help yourself. Here you go. I'm going to follow you. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to obey you. You are my Lord. You're in charge of my life here. Jesus says, why are you saying that, but you're doing something totally different that doesn't speak to that? You're speaking out of both sides of your mouth. Your words and your life are telling two totally different stories. He says, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. I've been married for over 17 years. I bring my lovely wife up here, Connie, and I introduce her to all of you. And I say, hey, this is my wife, Connie. And I look at her and I'm like, man, honey, I love you. I love you. And I look right in her eyes and I go, I love you. And then all of a sudden I go, bam, I just nail her right in the head and just drop her. Just boom. And I reach over and I pick her up and I go, hey, honey, I love you. No, I do. I love you. Give her one of those. Drop her again. Pick her up. Hey, I love you. I love you. You know, give her one of those. And you're like, Wes, stop it. You idiot. What are you doing? You're saying one thing, you're doing it. It makes no sense. You'd be absolutely right. That makes absolutely no sense. Why? Because I'm saying one thing, I'm doing another. Completely opposite. And Jesus said, why are you doing that? You're saying, Jesus, you're in charge of my life, but I'm going to spend my time however I want. Jesus, I'm following you. I love you. You're in charge. I'm going to look at whatever website I want. I'm going to choose my entertainment however I want. I'm going to operate in my relationships however I want. I'm going to do whatever I want to do. I'm going to go wherever I want to go, and maybe I'll consult you. Maybe I won't, but I'm going to be in charge. Oh, but Jesus, I'm following you, man. Jesus said, well, are you kidding? I mean, can you hear his heart in this verse, verse 46? Why do you call me Lord? Why do you? He makes it personal, man, because it is personal. Jesus loves you one at a time. He loves us one at a time. He speaks to us one at a time. He talks to us one at a time. Can you hear it? Saying, why are you saying that I'm in charge of your life, but you're living like this? Why are you doing this? Don't you see it's not going to work out? Don't you understand where this is leading? Don't you get it that your life will not be okay? Don't you see? That's his heart. He's saying, why are you doing it? Because it doesn't make any sense, and it's not going to end well. So let me ask you, which guy are you? Every single one of us in this room, everybody watching online, everybody at Lockport, either this guy or that guy. Jesus only puts two options on the table, man. Only puts two options. He says, you're either here, the wise man, you're saying yes to me, you're listening to me, you're obeying me, you're saying yes with your lips and with your life, or you're this guy. You might be nodding your head at me, but you're telling me no. You're telling me no. Because you're one or the other. And Jesus said, I want you to be this guy. I want you to be this guy. So let me ask you, which one are you? Which one are you? Jesus tells us ahead of time where it's going. If you say, Wes, man, I think this is me. I think this is me. Awesome. Then keep charging after God, because listen to me. Obedience, your obedience today does not guarantee your obedience tomorrow. Your obedience today does not guarantee your obedience tomorrow. You can think of people in your life who used to be right here. They're not anymore. They've walked away from God. They started to say no to God in little decisions of their life, and slowly but surely they've been running that direction. I've had college kids sitting in my house on my couch, looking me in the face, saying, I'm going to run after God, Wes. I'm going to love God. I'm going to follow him. And 3 months later, the wheels are coming off their truck because they started little decisions. Typically, it's a wrong relationship. Little decisions to move away from this. Every single day, if you're here, every single day, you make a choice in the morning. God, I want to be this today. I'm going to spend time in your word, because even when I don't feel like it, when I spend time in God's word, I'm making a statement with my life. God, you are worth it today. You're in charge of my life today. I want to run after you today, and I need you because I'm done without you. Maybe you're over here. This is you. The good news is you can come over here. The Bible calls it repentance. Where you've been saying no to God in your life, you can start saying yes. And you know, if you're a believer, if you've invited Christ into your life, you know what that is. You know where you've been telling him no. You know what it is. The Holy Spirit's been working on you, man. You know what that is. But today, before you leave, where you've been telling God no, you can start telling him yes. Repentance means to run from that which is against God and run towards God. He's saying, I don't want that anymore. I don't want it. I want you. I want your way. Whatever it costs, whatever it means, that's what I want. Some of you, you're over here because you've never said yes to God. You've never said yes to him. Oh, maybe you know about him, but you've never said yes to him with your heart, with your life. You've never come to him and you've never said, I know I'm a sinner and I need a savior. You know what God says to you? For God so loved the world that he gave his only son to pay your price, your debt on a cross with his life, with his blood. So whoever believes in him, not believes about him, believes in him. That word belief means commit. I'm in. I'm all in. Whoever believes in him, trusts in him, will not perish, will have eternal life. Eternal life is a relationship with God. It's a home in heaven. It begins the moment you invite Christ into your life. Say, Jesus, take my life. Take my life. And it puts you right here. And all of a sudden, this book's going to start making sense to you because you know the author. All of a sudden, it changes your motivation. See, this isn't about earning. You can't earn your salvation. I don't read my Bible to earn God's love. I read my Bible to find out how much God loves me. I don't witness to get God to love me. I witness because I love him. See, it changes your motivation when you're over here because you realize you get what God has done for you through Christ. Some of you, you've been here. And God tells you ahead of time, you stay here, this is going to be your outcome forever. God says, I want you to be here. But it's your choice. Let's pray. I'm going to invite you to bow your heads and close your eyes right where you are, just for a moment. This is the most critical point of our time together. This is where you respond to what God, by his Spirit, has been saying to you. So what has he been saying to you? What has he been saying to you? What does he want you to hear? And now what does he want you to do? What does he want you to do? What has God spoken to you about today? What do you need to do about it? Then make a decision right here, right now. You know what that is. If there's some area in your life where you've been telling God no, you can start today, right now, start telling him yes. You can repent. You say, God, I'm coming after you. I want to listen. I want to obey. I'm coming after you. You're in charge of my life. I want my life to make sense for you. So you're here watching online at Lock Park. Whatever God has talked to you about, take a moment. Tell him. He's your first line of accountability. Tell him. Tell him what's going on. Tell him what you're going to do about it. For some of you, you've never told God yes. You've never told him yes. There's never been a point in your life where you've told God yes, where you've said to him, I am lost. I'm a sinner and I need a savior. The Bible's crystal clear about that, that we are lost. We are in rebellion against God. We cannot get to heaven on our own. And the penalty for our sin, our rebellion, is death, eternal separation from God forever. But God loved you so much that he sent his son to die for you and for me. Not because he needed to, but because he wanted to, and he wants you to know him. And so he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to pay for your penalty, for your sin. Was buried 3 days later, rose, proving that he conquered sin and death, and is good to his word. Now he sits at the right hand of the Father, and he comes to you and to me through his word, and he offers you a relationship with God. Say, Wes, that's what I want. I want to start saying yes to God today. I want to know I'm going to heaven. I want to have a relationship with God. I want to surrender my life to him. If that is you, then tell him. Tell him that right now, right where you are. Tell him. Just tell him. In fact, you can pray something like this, not out loud in your heart because you're not talking to me or anybody else around you. You're talking to God. You can just say something like this. Say, Dear Jesus, I'm a sinner and I need a savior. I believe I can't save myself. Your standard is perfect holiness. I'll never meet that. But I believe Jesus died for me, that he has eternal life to give me. a home in heaven, a daily relationship with God. And I want that. I want you. And so right now, I turn from my sin. I repent. I don't want that. And I turn to you. Jesus, I invite you into my life right now. I just come running, lay myself at your feet. Come into my life. I trust you. Give me eternal life. Be my Savior, my Lord, my friend. I will follow you. His head bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around, please, just for his final moment. No one looking around. But if you just prayed that prayer, and you meant that, I mean, you meant it, I want to pray for you in a closing prayer. So all I'm going to ask you to do, I'm going to ask you to raise your hand nice and high and hold it up and stare right at me until I see you, okay? If you just prayed that prayer and you invited Christ in, I just asked Jesus in my life, Wes, and I meant it. I'm going to invite you to hold your hand up nice and high and just hold it and stare right at me for a moment. I want to see you. I want to pray for you. God bless you, man. Hold it up. Keep it up nice and high. I'm looking around. It's a big room. I don't want to miss anybody. If I don't acknowledge you, wave at me because I just want to see you. I just want to pray for you. This is so critical, and I don't want to miss anybody. Bless you. Anybody else? It's my hand, Wes. Just prayed, just invited Christ in. Just made that decision, man. Pray for me. God bless you. I see it. Thank you. Awesome. Father, I only see hands. You see hearts. You know what's going on. Make these decisions so real for your honor and for your glory. You put your hands down. Those of you, heads bowed, eyes closed, those of you who raised your hands, and if you didn't, here's what I'm going to invite you to do. Here's what I'm going to invite you to do. In just a moment, we're going to dismiss. Right across the atrium, sort of a room called the fireside room, I'm going to run right over there. And if you prayed that and you meant that, whether you raised your hand or not, I want you to come on over. I want you to just take a minute. I want to put something in your hand. It's going to help you with the decision. This is your most important decision. If I said, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you $1,000. I'm pretty sure you'd come over and see me. Well, guess what? This is way more valuable. This is your eternity we're talking about. So I'm going to invite you to come on over. As soon as we dismiss, come on right over. Bring a friend. Come on, bring them. They'll be excited. Come on over to the fireside room. Let me put something in your hand. No strings attached. Something in your hand that'll help you and encourage you in your walk with Christ. Jesus, I thank you for your truth. Jesus, thanks that you tell us what we need to know in your word. God, may we go out of here. May we hear what you have to say. May we wrap our lives around you. God, I pray that you continue by your spirit to work in our hearts. Those of us, especially that claim to be your followers. Lord, we will love you. Lord, we will love you and we will not be that guy. We will be a guy who's charging after you. Thank you, Christ. Be honored with our lives. Thanks for loving us, Jesus. Pray this in your name. Amen.